As an honor for promoting Italian culture around the world, the government of Italy awarded Fred Plotkin with its highest honor in 2015. In a rare move for a non-Italian, Fred was named a Cavaliere. It's like a knighthood there for being what they called one of the most admired and esteemed experts on Italy. Fred Plotkin has also been one of our favorite guests over the years on Travel with Rick Steves for his knowledge and appreciation of all things about Italy, and for revealing the regional specialties that make eating anywhere in Italy such a delight. It's been my honor to work with Fred as we co-authored a remake of his landmark guide, Italy for the Gourmet Traveler. Fred's with us right now from his home in New York City to rouse our appetites and to celebrate the release of our new collaboration, Italy for Food Lovers. Fred, buongiorno.
Ciao, Riccardo.
Come va?
Ottimo, te?
I'm doing great, and it's always fun to talk with you. And
likewise.
Fred, a lot of people don't have the joy of thumbing through a book that they've written for the first time. When you received Italy for the Food Lovers and you thumbed through it, you put a lot of work into this thing. I mean, what were your thoughts?
Well, you know, to my knowledge, I'm not the father of any baby that I know of who would now be an adult, but I am the father of a number of books. And when the book arrives in the mail, it really is like being presented with your child.
Oh.
Because you have invested all of your love and passion and care and nourishment into creating a book.
Fred, I love that metaphor of having a baby. And to carry on with that metaphor, I think we were pregnant with that book for a long time. And also, it's got an older cousin. It's got your book, Italy for the Gourmet Traveler, which was your go-to book for Italian food lovers for decades, literally. You know, I love the way you started our book. Right on the opening, you put this quote in here. This is a guide to Italian food, but it's also a book about the Italian people, their ingenuity, their traditions, and their evangelical zeal for quality. It's about the sensuality of Italy, expressed through its food, wine, and culinary philosophy. It'll lead you to the Italy that you can see, taste, smell, touch, and hear, where flavors, fragrances, scenery, art, music, and people are all sources of pleasure, known in Italy as piacere. I love that word, piacere, Fred.
That's a central operating principle for Italian life, pleasure. And I don't mean mindless pleasure. I don't mean hedonism, but I mean really savoring every single thing, whether it's a conversation with a friend, whether it's a cup of espresso, whether it's a beautiful piece of scenery, whether it's an opera, whether it's a beautifully prepared bowl of pasta. All of that can be savored. And that's something the Italians know to do. And maybe I was predisposed to that, but when I got to Italy, actually 50 years ago, I was awakened to that in a radical way that changed my life.
Well, you know, I think a lot of Americans can benefit from that in their travels. There's a favorite quote of yours is, I can say it in English, the time you spend eating a decent meal is never wasted.
True. A tavola non si invecchia is a way of saying you don't get older at the table.
Right.
Time stands still.
Well, and there's something about, as a traveler, to go to Italy and to be part of that scene, to be immersed in the culture, and the way you feel the pulse of that culture can be by eating there. You know, a lot of us grow up eating Italian in the United States, but we have quite an adjustment when we get to Italy. Can you put your finger on the difference between eating Italian in the United States and eating Italian in Italy?
There is what we call Italian-American, and that's a wonderful cuisine. I don't want to knock it because I grew up on that and I love it. But that's not Italian food. Similarly, there is food now in America that tries to evoke Italian flavors. You find this, for example, near San Francisco. You find it in places with communities that have the kind of agriculture that could approximate parts of Italy. But Italian food, in other words, of Italy, is really strictly local. So that you and I might say Italian, but what we mean is cotoletta alla milanese from Milan, spaghetti with tomato sauce from Naples, beautiful fish dishes from Sicily, fantastic coffee from Trieste or Torino. Pesto is only really from Liguria, which is Genoa and the Italian Riviera. Pesto is, you may find it elsewhere in Italy, but it's not from elsewhere in Italy. It's only from Liguria.
In fact, we might not even be aware of that when we order something on the menu. It says alla milanese or something like that. And what we're doing is we're embracing a regional specialty, aren't we?
We are. And I'm not saying that they can't make that dish in Rome, but I would save cotoletta alla milanese for Milan and carbonara for Rome. I wouldn't have carbonara in Milan unless I were making it myself in my own kitchen with a Roman standing by.
This is Travel with Rick Steves, and our guest right now is Fred Plotkin. That means it's time to have our appetites stoked. We're exploring what makes eating in Italy such a special treat. Fred and I collaborated on updating his landmark book. It was called Italy for the Gourmet Traveler, into our new title, and that's called Italy for Food Lovers. Fred also hosts live arts and culture interviews on the iDaggio platform. The show is called Fred Plotkin on Fridays, and it's Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern Time. Fred, you were mentioning how, you like to kind of be a cultural chameleon when you go from region to region and eat what the locals are eating. And I think that's an important thing for us to remember when we are traveling in Italy. Italians don't eat Italian. They eat regional. Eating ethnic in Italy means eating from some region apart from your own region, I suppose. And that is even related to this intense regionality of ingredients that you see when you have these legal designations. What is DOP?
Denominazione di origine protetta. That means that a food it has a somewhere-ness. It is from a place, from a culture, from a soil, from an animal that has been raised in a certain way, from a grape that can only be grown in certain soil and certain exposures and at certain yields. The Italians were very good at bureaucracy even before joining the European Union. But what DOP is about, in fact, is upholding a higher standard than the European Union, because Europe wants to be more generic. So, for example, the region of Trentino in the northeast grew all kinds of varieties of apples. But when the European Union and Italy merged, Germany and Austria wanted only certain kinds of apples. So many of the native varieties were uprooted in Trentino to supply the German and Austrian markets. Italians pushed back at that by saying we need to protect our unusual native varieties. And that's how the DOP came about.
Is that a legal thing, like you can only call champagne champagne if it comes from that part of France and Italy has to call it Prosecco, you know? Is that a legal requirement to protect regions?
It is, because it's also a way of making something.
I've seen people get around it a little bit by saying this is the champagne method, but they can't call it champagne. It's kind of, it's essentially the same thing, but protected. If you think about a couple of ingredients that really are, you know, they just obviously come from here, and that's where you got to have it on your checklist when you're there. I think of mozzarella, for example, or wild boar. Where would those be best enjoyed culturally?
Well, mozzarella is important to talk about because it is from the region of Campania, which is Naples. It's also produced in nearby Basilicata and parts of Puglia, and that's legal, so to speak, in Italian law. But the original mozzarella came not from dairy cows, but from water buffalo that have been there since ancient times, and there's a tangy flavor in the mozzarella. Now, I mention this because the European Union said, we can take Dutch milk or Danish or German milk and make mozzarella in Schleswig-Holstein. No, you can't. I'm sorry.
It's just not tangy, right?
No, it's just not the same thing. Now, there can be the equivalent of that. I live in New York State. We produce more mozzarella than any American state, but it's not Italian mozzarella.
Right.
It's Italian style. So in Italy, you can purchase in Torino or in Puglia mozzarella that's made in Campania. It comes in little containers and it's always packed in water. And you need to eat it very quickly because it's very perishable and it's wonderful. But frankly, there is nothing like having it in Campania, especially
right.
In Naples.
And that relates, Fred, to this concept of abbinamento, matching flavors, because if you have mozzarella that's so good in Campania, I believe tomatoes are really good in Campania also. And what a beautiful thing for a salad that would mix those two ingredients.
One of my very favorite meals in Italy, and it's not in our book simply because you covered Sorrento, but I will mention this to all listeners, is a restaurant called Aurora, A-U-R-O-R-A, which is on the Piazza Tasso in Sorrento. And to look at it, it's nothing special, but they have fresh mozzarella, they have smoked mozzarella, they have different styles of mozzarella. And my perfect meal in that restaurant is to get a sampling, an abbinamento, of six different mozzarellas and six different vegetables, and lay them out in front of me on a plate, and just compare this artichoke with that smoky flavor of mozzarella versus this artichoke with the fresh cow's mozzarella, then trying a tomato, then trying zucchini that's been preserved in vinegar. And it's one of the great meals. And it's just cheese and vegetables, but at its zenith.
Oh, Fred Plotkins with us from his home in Manhattan on Travel with Rick Steves as we celebrate the culinary pleasures of Italy and the release of the book we co-authored called Italy for Food Lovers. Over the years, you've heard Fred describe the seasonal local foods you find all across Italy. This new book updates his classic Italy for the Gourmet Traveler for each of Italy's 20 regions. It also includes our 100 favorite restaurant recommendations, 50 of mine and 50 of Fred's. There's more at ricksteves.com/radio. Fred, when we're thinking about this abbinamento, matching flavors and textures, a lot of people, they just love, in Italy, cantaloupe and a thin slice of salty prosciutto. Isn't that a great example of abbinamento?
Yes, and you said textures and flavors. I would also add temperatures, because when something is cold, hot, or tepid, the sensation is different in the nose and in the mouth. So I think I'm the one who coined a term years ago, a culinary geographer. In other words, why is a particular ingredient or food better in one place than another? And most Italians will tell you that the best cantaloupe comes from Mantua, in Lombardy. It's where Lombardy borders Emilia-Romagna. And there's something about the soil that produces this musky, fleshy, sweet, complex flavor of cantaloupe that Italians are willing to pay more for that cantaloupe, melone in Italian, because of its exquisite flavor and texture, and you have it at room temperature or slightly chilled. Then, nearby to Mantova is Parma, which produces a very famous prosciutto, which is air-cured ham with just a little bit of salt. It's cured usually for 14 months or sometimes a little longer. And the air that courses through Parma, or actually the town of Longhierano, is different from the air that courses through San Daniele in Friuli Venezia Giulia or Carpegna in the Marche. So therefore, the flavors of those different prosciuttos is slightly different. So what I would do is I would have the constant of the melon from Mantova and then have three different examples of prosciutto, Parma, San Daniele, Carpegna, and use the melon as a standard and the prosciuttos as something different. And this is how we develop our palate. This is not foodie. I'm not a foodie. This is just sensuality. It's pleasure.
Sensuality. And I like sensuality as much as the next person, but it just breaks my heart more. Yeah. Okay, more. I won't argue with that. But it breaks my heart when I talk with you, Fred, and I think of all the mediocre meals I've had in Italy when, of course, you can't have a life-changing meal every time, but all the opportunities I've missed just by not having the bar a little higher. You don't need to go hog wild on the menu, but just to go to a place that can serve the cantaloupe with the prosciutto correctly. Our book, Italy for Food Lovers, it's a practical manual for enjoying Italian cuisine. And in here, we've got travel tips. And one of the tips is, for example, is simply knowing the key words you're looking for. What are these words in Italian that we should know when we're looking at a menu?
Well, in a menu, but also in the market, one of my favorites is nostrano, N-O-S-T-R-A-N-O, or sometimes nostrana, if the object is feminine. And that's a wonderful word. It simply means ours. Mm-hmm. So that, for example, in Liguria, you might see something that will say Basilico Nostrano, our basil. So in other words, it does not come from 10 valleys away. It comes from right here. And people want it from right here. In Mantua, you would always say melone nostrano because it's their melon. And it's not arrogance. It's just, it's a guarantee of quality and an awareness of distinction. And I could multiply this to thousands of products. For example, in Padua, there's a fantastic market in Padua. Mm-hmm. You will see hens that only are from Padua that are a little more scrawny, frankly, than some of the other hens we see, certainly the big fat American birds. But these are so much more intense in flavor. So you would roast it or perhaps make a broth with it. And the flavor of the hen, the Gallina Nostrana from Padua, is really something fantastic. So if you see that word, it's not advertising. It's a guarantee, it's an assurance that the people take great pride.
Fred, it is so fun to talk to you. It just always stokes my appetite. We're out of time, but I just want to thank you for the hard work you put into this book. And it's very gratifying to be able to share decades of appreciation of Italian cuisine into a package like this book. And I'm just so thankful to be able to offer that to our travelers. Let's just close with that. You mentioned earlier in our discussion, a tavola non si invecchia. At the table, one does not age. Pardon my Italian.
It's kind of like you freeze in place because you're so enjoying the food and the moment and the sociability.
Well,
and
give me an example, Fred.
Yeah.
Give me an example that you remember of at the table, one does not age.
I was once at a trattoria in Treviso in northeastern Italy called Tony del Spin, S-P-I-N. Treviso is the town that invented the famous dessert, tiramisu. And Tony del Spin makes a famous example of tiramisu. And I had my meal and I was eating alone and people were around me at other tables and looking at me and noticing that I was enjoying what I was eating. But apparently the facial version of an orgasm overtook me as I was tasting the tiramisu. And people came and sat down with me and started asking me questions about the tiramisu. Is this the first time you've had it? Do you know that tiramisu is from Treviso? Do you notice how bitter the chocolate is? Do you know how rich the coffee is? Do you notice the mascarpone? Each person would give me their own experience of the mascarpone. And I spent 2 more hours with strangers who became friends just talking about this particular tiramisu. You make friendships that way.
You really do.
And this was just over dessert.
That is so Italian and such a beautiful example, and that's something we can all strive for in our travels in Italy and beyond. Fred Plotkin, thanks so much for joining us, and buon appetito.
Thank you, Rick. Triste la tua dieta al ristorante, mentre mangio come un elefante, tu hai vinto
di niente. Fred and I talk about the homesickness Italians often feel for the sound of the church bells closest to where they live. It's in a short extra to today's interview, and it's on our website at ricksteves.com/radio. And like any classic Italian dinner, we're not finished eating yet. Next, an American who returned to her family roots in Italy and stayed walks us around the Tuscan culinary traditions you'll find on the streets of Florence. Buon appetito. It's Travel with Rick Steves.